I'm going to read from the scriptures now, from the prophecy of Jeremiah. And I'm going to read two chapters, the first one of which is chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him, upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou, and read in the roll, which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people, in the Lord's house, upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard, when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, Take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, Sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and other, and said to Baruch, We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, He pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, Go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went in to the king into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamalech, and Sariah, the son of Azriel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, Take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast burned this roll, saying, Why hast thou written therein, saying, The king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord, of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, He shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and upon the men of Judah, all the evil that I have pronounced against them. But they hearkened not. Then took Jeremiah another roll, and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book, which Jehoiakim king of Judah had burned in the fire. And there were added, besides unto them, many like words. And then go forward to Jeremiah chapter 45. This is a shorter chapter. Jeremiah 45. Jeremiah chapter 45. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch. Thou didst say, Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, The Lord saith thus, Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. Well, may the Lord bless his word to us. Shall we sing again? We'll sing from the Psalter. Have we all got the Black Psalter, the Black Psalm book? And we'll sing Psalm 6. The first version of Psalm 6. It's a long meter version. We'll sing it to the tune Rimington, which we should all know. Psalm 6.
Thank you.
Well, I want to look tonight for a short while at Baruch. Baruch, the son of Neriah. Now, as we heard in the reading, he's Jeremiah's scribe. And altogether, he appears three times in the book of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah, in the Lord's providence, for the Lord's own holy ends, is not written in chronological order. To find out the chronology, you have to look at the beginning of each chapter at who the king was and in what year of his reign. And that's why I read chapters 36 and 45 together, because they both occur, they're both contemporary, they both occur together in the fourth year of King Jehoiakim, of Josiah. If you look at chapter 36, actually, in verse 9, it fast-forwards forward to the fifth year of Jehoiakim. So my suggestion is that chapter 45 occurs between verses 8 and 9, because it's in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, but it's after Baruch wrote this roll, the words of Jeremiah on this roll. So I'm going to assume that chapter 45 occurs between verses 8 and 9. Briefly, I think we've got time for this, briefly, he appears three times in the book of Jeremiah. This is the first occasion, the earliest occasion. The second occurrence of his appearance is in the 10th year of Zedekiah in chapter 32. Now this is 18 years later. It's just before Jerusalem is captured and destroyed by the Babylonians. I'll read a few verses from Jeremiah 32, from verse 9. "And I bought the field of Hanameel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence, and sealed it, and took witnesses, and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open, and I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, in the sight of Hanameel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land." So Jeremiah is told by God at this point to buy some land. Now the thing is, for 40 years up to this point, he'd been prophesying the fall of Jerusalem. And it's just about to happen. So what's the point, humanly speaking, buying property when you know it's going to be destroyed? And the other thing is, in chapter 16, Jeremiah was told not to have a wife or children, so he had no descendants, so that when Israel did come back to the land, who was going to take it? But you see what Baruch is doing. He's drawing up a legal document. He's not. We think of Baruch as a secretary, a scribe, just a copyist. But he's far more than that. He's drawing up a legal document. He's getting the evidence together. He's getting the witnesses together. He's putting it away in a clay container. He's a very accomplished professional lawyer, or what we would call a solicitor or lawyer, or when we buy a house, we go to the solicitor. And he's a very intelligent professional man. He could have had his own practice. He could have been very successful in this world. But he doesn't do that. And instead, he humbles himself beneath this strange man, Jeremiah, the Lord's prophet. The third occasion he's mentioned, this is after the fall of Jerusalem now, and this is in chapter 43. I'll just read a few verses from there quickly. Chapter 43, after the fall of Jerusalem, God told Jeremiah to tell the people wanted to go to Egypt to escape the Babylonians. But Jeremiah said, no, but they didn't accept it. I'll just read a few verses. Jeremiah 43, verse 2. Then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kariah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God has not sent thee to say, go not to Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death. So Jeremiah said, no, don't go to Egypt, settle down here. But the people thought Baruch was setting him against them. Notice the people thought Baruch had influenced Jeremiah. To all outward appearances, Baruch seems to be the professional, the worldly man, the man of the world, the man, the leader. But all the time, every occasion we meet him, he's humbling himself beneath God's prophet. He's not setting himself up as some great leader, some great man, or some great professional man with a great business or whatever. He's humbling himself beneath God's prophet every time. Well, let's start looking at the chapters that we read. Chapter 36 and verse 2. Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words. Now, this is the word from the Lord to Jeremiah. Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee from the days of Josiah even unto this day. Maybe that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So Jeremiah is told by the Lord to write in a book all the words the Lord had spoken through him so thus far, right the way back from the reign of Josiah. If you read the beginning of Jeremiah, Jeremiah started prophesying. It's in Jeremiah chapter 1, actually. He started prophesying in the verse 2, in the 13th year of Josiah. So that's altogether from there to this point in the fourth year of Jehoiakim is 22 years. He'd been prophesying for 22 years of the fall of Jerusalem. And it would come in another 18 years' time. But he's told to write all those prophecies down. Now, how does he get all the information? He's told to write them all down. It must be that the Holy Spirit brought them back to his remembrance. I can't think of any other way of doing it. When he gave a prophecy, if he wrote it down on a little card index or whatever, he would have them written down already. Why bother asking Baruch to write them down again? I would suggest this is the first time they're actually written down. And he remembers them word for word, and the Holy Spirit tells him to do that. And this is the way the Lord works. This is the way the Lord operates. And we're told not to worry. When we get ourselves into trouble, if the authorities capture us and lead us and we haven't got our Bibles with us and we don't really know what to say, Mark 13:11, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour that speak ye, for it is not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. We should trust in the Lord to bring things, particularly scriptures, to our remembrance. And that's what he did with Jeremiah. Brought the scriptures to his remembrance. Brought his prophecies back to his remembrance so that Baruch could write them down. And notice that these prophecies originally, it says in verse 2, they were given against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations originally. But here Jeremiah is asked to write them down and then proclaim them to Judah, just to Judah, to try to get them to repent. So old prophecies, which were given years ago, still have a long use, an application after they were originally given, which is why we've got them all collected in this book. All of God's prophecies are in here, and they're still of application to us today. Verse 5. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fast day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against his people. The whole point of all this, may be they will return every one from his evil way, for great is the anger and fury the Lord hath pronounced against his people. Jeremiah was originally going to deliver these messages in the Lord's house in the temple on the fast day. Now, of course, the fast day, people were coming from all over Judah to the temple for that day, for the religious festival. So that's the ideal time to present these prophecies. But Jeremiah was unclean. I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go there. So he tells Baruch to go. And he tells him to read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. So he was told to read them in the temple first, and then in the ears of the people, verse 6, in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fast day. And also read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. So any message wasn't just to be confined inside the temple. It's so easy to bring a message inside the temple, inside a church. We've got a message to go far beyond the four walls of this church. We've got a message for all the people of Judah, all the people of this area. We're told, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. And what's the message we have for the world? I'm trying to compare us today with Baruch and Jeremiah in his day. They had a message. Maybe they'll repent. There's going to be a judgment. Maybe they'll repent. And what's the message we have for the world today? Well, in verse 7, their message was, return everyone from his evil way, for great is the anger and fury that the Lord hath pronounced against his people. And our message for the world out there is exactly the same. Jesus Christ said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There was going to be a judgment coming on Jerusalem. Now, it actually came 18 years later when the Babylonians came and flattened the city and took the people into exile. We've got a message of judgment too. God is justly angry with us, every one of us, every human being on the face of the earth, because we've gone our own way. We don't acknowledge him, we're self-centered. All of us, every person on the face of the earth, needs to repent personally to God for their own individual sin. Or, there's going to be a judgment one day. But now, in the days after Jesus Christ has been into the world, we've also got a message. We've got a message of repentance. Repent for the forgiveness of sins. But we've also got a message of a Saviour coming into the world who can save us from our sins. That's what we need. It's not just a question of repentance. Yes, we do need to repent. Everybody needs to repent and change. But we also need a Saviour, because we must realise, well, actually, by ourselves, we can't change. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's what we need. We need reconciliation with God, because he is justly angry with us, just as he was justly angry with the people in Jeremiah's day. And all we have to do is to cry to him, to come to Jesus Christ. Oh yes, we've got to repent and give up our sins. That's why most people don't want to do it. They're too happy with their sin. But if we carry on like that, if we don't do anything about it, we'll end up the way Jerusalem ended up. Now, after Jeremiah's day, yes, they went into exile. Yes, Jerusalem was flattened. But Jeremiah prophesied that in 70 years' time, they will return. And they did. But we've got to be careful. Now Christ has been, and he was rejected of men, and he said these solemn words. Jerusalem was destroyed again in AD 70 by the Romans. And before that, he said these solemn words: behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And we've got to make sure that our house, our soul, every one of us as individuals, is not left desolate by embracing Christ and coming to him in repentance and faith. And then we'll escape the judgment that all of us deserve. So, as you see, I'm trying to contrast, or compare rather, what happened in Jeremiah's time with us today. Verse 8. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. He did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him. He was obedient. He was a well-educated lawyer. He could have gone his own way, set up his own practice, whatever. But he didn't. He submitted himself to God and God's prophet at the time, Jeremiah. Now, as I said earlier on, between verses 8 and 9, there's a break in the narrative. Verse 9, suddenly we go forward to the fifth year of Jehoiakim. It's here that chapter 45 occurs. I want to look at that at the end. So we'll go to chapter 45 at the end. But notice, after Baruch reads Jeremiah's words in verse 8, we don't read anything of any kind of response from the people. And again, a similarity between Baruch and Jeremiah in those days and today. Nobody listens, or nobody seems to listen, to Christians today. We just get laughed at and mocked and sidelined. But we've got the word of the Lord. And the Lord told Isaiah in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Well, let's continue through chapter 36 before we look at chapter 45. We'll go into verse 9. It came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this is about a year later, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah the son of Shaphan the scribe, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of the people. So this is about a year later. It's another fast day. Now it may be the same fast day a year later, or it could be another festival, I don't know. There's another festival in the temple. And Baruch reads Jeremiah's words again. Now, we're not told, it may be the case, we're not told that either God or Jeremiah told him to do this. Maybe they did. Although, if Jeremiah had told him to do it, it's very odd that Jeremiah was unclean 2 years on the trot. I think, from what I can see, that I think Baruch was so frustrated at the lack of response in the first time that he took it upon himself a year later to do it again. Because there's no record of, there's no mention of Jeremiah telling him to do this or God telling him to do this. And we know he was depressed or sad at the time because we find that in chapter 45, which we'll look at later on. So he doesn't read it in the Lord's house, he reads it in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan. It seems to be a more convenient location because it's the entry of the new gate. And we see that Gemariah was one of the princes, because we find out in verse 11, when Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down to the king's house into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, and there's a list of princes, one of which is Micaiah's father, Gemariah, the son of Shaphan. And then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. So the second time Baruch reads Jeremiah's prophecies in the temple, somebody actually gets to hear about it, Micaiah, the son of Gemariah. Before, nobody's taken any notice, but someone's taking notice now. And compare that with us. Let's keep going. Even if nobody seems to take notice at all, just keep going. One person, all it needs is one person who can go out and tell other people. So don't give in. We never know when someone somewhere is going to respond. And he goes to the king's house, tells the princes what Baruch had said. Verse 14, therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, etc. Take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people and come. So Baruch took the roll in the hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So now we're getting somewhere. The princes get to hear the prophecies themselves. Verse 16, now it came to pass, when they'd heard all these words, they were afraid, both one and another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how did thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, let no man know where ye be. The princes became afraid at the word of God. God's word was finally having an effect on people. But the princes had no power. Only the king had power, so they had to tell the king. And they knew what the king might be like. If the king heard these words and feared the Lord, maybe they could still avert the judgment. So they make sure they got accurate information. Was this really from Jeremiah? Yes. And they tell Jeremiah and Baruch, hide quickly, because they know what the king's going to say. Verse 20. And they went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the word of God is laid up in the chamber of Elishama. And they go into the king's court telling him verbally what's on the roll. That was quite wise. But the king does ask them to fetch it, so they can't do anything else but fetch this roll. Verse 21, so the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. He took it out of the chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king. And then we've got this story of the king sat in the winter house. There was a fire on the hearth burning before him. It came to pass when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife, cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard these words. Total contrast. Altogether different reaction from the princes. The princes were afraid of the word of God. These people, though. They were laughing at it. The king and his servants weren't afraid. They mocked. And that's what we're going to get, you see. It's always the case. Some will be affected by the gospel, some will take it seriously, some will fear God and respond to it. Others will be totally unaffected and will just laugh and will just mock. And here are some of the princes. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he wouldn't hear them. The princes realized the message was from God. They saw the seriousness of the situation. But it was to no avail. And the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamalek, and Sariah, the son of Azariah, and Shelemiah, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. So the advice of the princes was right. They should be hidden. And Jeremiah and Baruch became marked men. But not before Jeremiah gets a final word to the king in verse 29. Thou shalt say to King Jehoiakim, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah and all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. Jeremiah never prophesied again in the rest of Jehoiakim's reign, which lasted another 7 years. You look through the whole of Jeremiah, there's no other prophecies in the reign of Jehoiakim after this one in the fifth year. And you know, in 7 years later, in Jehoiakim's 11th year, he was eventually carried into exile by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. The very king he didn't believe would come. And the whole nation of Judah followed a few years later. And after Jehoiakim was gone, Jeremiah came out of hiding. And there's a prophecy in Jeremiah 22, verses 18 and 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, my brother, or ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, Lord, or ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. And that's the last you hear of Jehoiakim. But what about this role? All those prophecies have been painstakingly gathered together by Jeremiah and Baruch. All that effort and the role had been burnt up. Well, verse 27, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the role, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another role, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burnt. So they compiled another roll, the Holy Spirit giving him the words to say, the words to write. And then verse 32, they then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. And that is the book of Jeremiah that we've got today. King Jehoiakim thought he could completely eradicate the word of God altogether by burning it. In the Protestant Reformation, they burnt Bibles thinking, if we get rid of all these, there's no problem. But that's impossible, because Isaiah says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now let's go to chapter 45. Chapter 45. And as I said, this occurs between verses 8 and 9. After Baruch's first reading, and there was no response. Chapter 45 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, Thou didst say, Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Poor Baruch is troubled. After the first reading of the roll, nobody had reacted to God's word at all. And I think that's why Baruch was troubled. He needed words of comfort from the Lord. Now, little did he know at that point that a year later the king would get to hear the words and he'd have to go into hiding for 7 years. But God brings a message here in chapter 45 to Baruch via Jeremiah. And it's a message to us today when we get disillusioned that nobody's listening to us. What's this message of comfort that God gives to Baruch? Well, verse 4. Thou shalt say unto him, The Lord saith thus, Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. That's not much of a message of comfort, is it? The message was the Lord was going to destroy Jerusalem. It's truth. That's what he was going to do. It's another 18 years away at this point, but that's what he was going to do. Comfort, true comfort, really involves telling the truth. You can say there, it doesn't matter. That's not real comfort. Real comfort involves telling truth for a start. It might be hard. Truth was that the Babylonians were going to destroy Jerusalem. It was going to happen, just as Jeremiah had prophesied. Nobody could stop it. But the message hasn't finished yet, and we've got verse 5 here. Verse 5. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whithersoever thou goest. And this is a message not just for Baruch, but for us today. This is the message of comfort. We've got three things in this verse 5. First of all, I will bring evil upon all flesh. Not only was Jerusalem going to be destroyed, you think that's a bad thing that's going to happen, Baruch. But one day the whole world is going to be destroyed. I will bring evil upon all flesh. And that's the message we've got for everybody today. It's not very palatable. It's not what people want to hear. They're not going to like it. But truth is, one day this world is going to end and be destroyed by fire. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. It's just going to happen. That's the truth. That's the first point. I've got 3 points here. That's the first point from verse 5. Second point. What should Baruch do, therefore, in the light of the fact that this world is going to be destroyed? Should he still put his trust in this world? Should he follow the world and its ways? Should he think, well, this is quite comfortable here. It's quite nice here. Even though it all leads to destruction in the end. The Lord tells him, Seekest thou great things for thyself, Baruch? Seek them not. Baruch could have sought great things for himself. As I said, he was a very professional, accomplished professional lawyer. He's told, Seek them not. Don't go after the things of this world. Don't chase after things in this world, fulfillment, fame, fortune. He could have had men of the world looking up to him. But he chose another path. He chose to associate himself with the prophet of God. He had no time at all for status in this world. And that's just like Moses. Moses in Hebrews 11, remember this? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And thirdly, Okay, if we don't chase after the things of this world, if we don't put our trust in the things of this world to help us and to keep us, how are we going to survive? Isn't the world going to roll over us? Well, the Lord says, "Thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest." So if we don't put our trust in this world, we think, oh dear, the world's going to roll over us and we're going to be destroyed. We're going to have a terrible time. But actually, if we know the Lord, he'll look after us and keep us from the evil. "Thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest." If we follow the Lord, we needn't worry about the judgment to come. Now, we might have to go through many unpleasant and difficult circumstances while we're here, but the Lord will save us through them all, and we'll be saved eternally from the judgment altogether. Now, that's the message of comfort to Baruch, and it's a message of comfort to us too. Don't put our trust in this world. It's not worth it. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And you know this one, Psalm 23, verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Well, may the Lord bless his word to us. Let's pray.